You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Amen. Well, this morning we're starting a new sermon series called You Belong Here. And I want you to know it's true. Look in my eyes, every one of you. I'm so glad you're here today. You belong at First Assembly. There's a place for you here. There's a family that loves you and cares about you. There's a family that is here to say, listen, there's a place for you. And it's amazing as we begin this series, we're going to take about 4 weeks. And again, I echo what Pastor Jason said. Make sure you stop by all of the booths out in the foyer. Get connected. Find a place to get connected. Because you see, to get connected, you have to do more than just show up here on a Sunday morning. That's great. I'm so glad you're here this morning, but God has so much more for you to experience His presence, to experience Him. And I believe that we experience God in relationship. When we have relationship with each other, when we have a friendship, when we have community. And this morning, I just want you to know God never intended us to do life alone. And it's interesting how many people I talk to who are lonely, who just go, Pastor, I have nobody in my life. Like, I don't have anyone to go to. I don't have friends. I don't have people. I'm lonely. Inside of us, every one of us, there's a desire to find a place to belong. There's a desire to find a place to connect. There's a desire to find a community of people who you can do life with. No matter how you're wired, an introvert, that's me. You might be surprised. You might go, Pastor, you're an introvert? Yes, I am an introvert or an amnivert or what. I don't know. I don't know what I'm called, but it's really strange. I love people, but I recharge alone. I mean, honestly, like, give me a book. Let me just be by myself. It's funny, this weekend I was flying back from L.A. from General Counsel, which thank you for letting me go to that church. It was a blessing to be there. General Counsel, we're part of the Assemblies of God, 13,000 churches. I always say there's more Assembly of God churches than McDonald's in the United States, all right? And we serve much better food, spiritual food, amen? I don't know. If you like McDonald's, praise God. Good for you. Every once in a while, I told our staff this the other day. Every once in a while, I am a McDonald's addict, and I just need a couple cheeseburgers. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they put in those things. But I was on an airplane flying back, and it was so interesting because normally, for me, I put headphones in. I'm like, don't talk to me. You might think I'm really unspiritual. There's some pastors who get up here and go, man, I just look for opportunities to share the gospel on airplanes. And, you know, I look for opportunities to put my headphones in and look straight forward and not look somebody in the eye because I don't want to talk to them, all right? And so I love them, but that's just my time. So I was on the airplane, and this guy next to me, young guy, 26 years old, sat down, and we started talking. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to miss my movie, and I'm like, you might say, now you know how to pray for me, okay? I'm just saying, I wish I was more spiritual when it came to sitting on an airplane, but I'm not. So I'm working on it. That's my goal this year. But he started talking to me, and he's an investment banker at 26 years old and works in downtown San Francisco. We're flying from San Francisco to St. Louis. And I started talking to him about his life, and it was so interesting because one thing I found out from him is he has nowhere to belong. He's busy doing his work, doing his job, probably makes six figures, lives right down in St. Louis or in San Francisco. And I asked him, I said, do you have any friends? I mean, I was just curious. I figured if I'm going to talk to him, let's get deep, all right? We're going to go deep and find out what's going on in this guy's life. He goes, man, I don't really have any place to belong. And, of course, he was Jewish, so he started asking me all the questions. He goes, what do you believe in? What do you think of homosexuals? And what do you think about people that smoke pot? And what do you think? I mean, like, all of the questions to get me caught. And I go, well, you know what? It doesn't matter necessarily what I think. I just want you to know I love you and I care about you. I'm not going to get into this discussion here on the airplane. I actually answered him back when he asked me what I thought about homosexuals. I said, well, probably along the same line as adulterers and people that sin. And I mean, it's just all the same. And he goes, wow. Like, he was trying to catch me, right? You know, have you ever been in those conversations before where they're trying to catch you? And I just poured out love. I just said, man, I just want you to know. So he gave me his card. We're going to stay connected. But I thought to myself, this guy, 26 years old, who has all the finances, he wants to find a place to belong. And I thought to myself, that's what the world is looking for, whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, socially adept, or socially awkward. Something in your soul longs for meaningful relationships with other humans. Having relationships. We long to know others and be known by them. We treasure friendships that allow us to truly be ourselves, though some of us have never found this sort of community. And I would say, men in the room, this is probably true for you. Most guys can't tell you who a close friend is. And they're lonely. I mean, honestly, they're like going, man, I wish I had. I mean, if we were to be honest and let the masculinity of testosterone down a little bit, we'd say, man, I wish I had somebody in my life that I could be close to. It's something we all long for. And I want to take just a pause because I forgot to mention something. Sorry, I'm ADHD, so you all know that. You've been here. But I want to just honor our college students, our students headed out to college. AV is headed out. I know Logan is headed out. I know Liam McEwen is headed out. Other ones that are headed out to college. Munholland, yeah, isn't Liam headed out to college? Yeah, that's what I thought. I said Liam, didn't I? Oh, Munholland. I'm just a mess. I'm telling you. I'm sorry. Somebody put something in my water. Liam Munholland. But all of these students have made such a profound impact on our church. They've worked so hard. Avi, thank you for your great work in the cafe. Logan, thank you for being up here singing. Liam Munholland, thank you for playing. Can we give them a hand? And we're just so excited for you guys. And I tried to figure out every way I could keep you here, but there's no such luck. So be praying. This week I'm taking AV back to school, and I know you guys are headed off. And at the end of the service, we'll pray for him today. But so if you're hungry to experience God, we believe the best way to do it is in community with other believers. Finding a place to belong, finding a place to fit. If you want to belong, if you're looking to belong, it's in community with other believers. If you're hungry to experience God, you've come to the right place. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just come to church and not experience God. I want to have a moment with him when I come. I want to have a moment so I can experience. I want to experience him. And I want you to know you belong here. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you even did last night. Some people walk into a church and they go, man, I'm going to be struck by lightning the minute I walk in that church. And it's so not true. I've never seen it happen. In fact, what happens is God wraps our arms around them and loves them through his people. That's what God does when you walk into a place and you feel like you don't belong. Our prayer is that you'll have a personal experience with God in our worship center corporately. That when you're here with other believers, that God meets your individual needs as we all worship him together. In fact, my prayer today is that this message will touch each one of your hearts individually. That he'll take this message and break it into 400 different pieces that go right to your heart. That you have a moment with him to understand how much he loves you and how much people around you love you. How did we get this way, this craving for relationship? How did this craving, this longing get hardwired into us? Because I don't care who you are, it's hardwired into you. God created us for community. To experience God, it's through community. God created us. God has always lived in community. We see that when we look at the Trinity, in fact. The Trinity, Ephesians 4:4-6, tells us there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, a Father of all, who is over and through all. The Trinity means that God himself is in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's always been that way. More accurately, God is community. One God, three persons. Before all of the world began, he was focused on community. Before any sort of human community existed, there was God dwelling in perfect, loving harmony in this threefold being. In the biblical account of creation, the triune God says, "Let us make man in our own image." So we are made in the image of God. If you ever wonder, as you look at your image, who created you that way, it's God. And what's so amazing is he created you perfectly in his image. I don't care what you see when you look in the mirror, God says, "You look perfect to me. You're in my image. You're created in my..." Some of us, we got to start seeing ourselves that way. Human beings are made to image God, to reflect his likeness. That's why our longing for community seems so deep and primal. It's how we're made as God's image bearers. We need each other. And my prayer is that we would become such a tight-knit family, a tight-knit community that continues. First Assembly has been that way for a long time, and that we continue to be a community that loves each other and cares for each other. And I'm not calling us to communal living, where everyone sells everything, goes and lives in a commune and drinks Kool-Aid together. That's not what I'm calling us to do, all right? But I am calling us to do life together. Christian community is simply sharing a common life in Christ. We have something in common, and his name is Jesus. It moves us beyond self-interested isolation of private lives and beyond the superficial social contacts that pass for Christian fellowship. Catch what I just said. I want us to go deep, not just on the surface. In fact, we have an opportunity in St. Louis to shine a light. Because St. Louis, if you saw the article I posted on my Facebook account the other day, St. Louis is the city where everybody's friendly, but nobody wants to be your friend. You see that article? If you didn't, get on my Facebook and look. So what that tells me is this city needs community. This city needs people who will get out of their doors and their house and go meet the new people with a plate of cookies and brownies or whatever you like to bake. If you have to buy them from Schnucks, do it. I don't care. Our ooey gooey butter cake. That would win your neighbor's hearts. But I think we're in a spot where we could show community. And we could show what the Christian idea of fellowship, the getting deep, the big, you know, superficial is you get together in your small group. Everybody goes, well, how you doing? I'm fine. I'm good. Those two words to me, I'm fine and I'm good, mean you're not good and you're not fine. So let's really figure out what's going on. So let's dig deep. Let's be vulnerable with each other. Let's share what our struggles are. The big biblical idea of community challenges us instead to commit ourselves to life together as a people of God. You know, it's so interesting. We're more socially connected than ever before. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. I hate that thing. I'm telling you. I cannot figure out why you want to take a picture of yourself and send it around the world. I mean, you might think I'm old. Even FaceTime. I'm like, don't FaceTime me. I won't answer your call. I do not want to look in the phone and see myself. My kids call me. I go, don't call me on FaceTime. I don't even know what to do with my face. I don't know where to look. Anybody ever been there before? I'm like, what do I do with this thing? I mean, like, and then, like, it's that FaceTime pose where you're, like, looking around because you don't want to look right in the camera. Maybe it's just me. First world problems. But we have so many opportunities to be connected today with social media, but we are so disconnected. You cannot connect virtually like you can face-to-face. You cannot, you know, we sit at home and we think, man, if I could just get, you know, all the social media. But what we realize and what we're seeing is our need for community is not being met. It turns out that social media maybe isn't so social at all, and people don't feel like they're part of connected and being a part of community. In a story from the Pew Institute, they surveyed 1979 young adults and found some interesting information. For people that heavily use social media 2 hours a day or more, they're 2.7 more times likely to experience heavy depression. I don't know how they got 2.7, but it worked out, all right? It's proven that face-to-face connectedness improved a person's well-being, but the people doing the study weren't sure about virtual connectedness. I think sometimes we go, well, I'm connected on social media. Why do I need face-to-face? Why do I need to take the time? And even talking to this young guy that I was sitting next to, he goes, well, I'm so busy, I just don't have time to connect. So I just get on social media, and I talk to my friends and whatever. It turns out that when these young people were asked and they reported they spent more than 2 hours a day on social media, but they had twice the odds of being perceived that they were in social isolation. And those that spent a half an hour per day or less on those sites felt like they were less isolated. People who visited social media platforms most frequently, 58 visits per week, that's probably me, I admit it, I need therapy, had more than three times the odds of being perceived as in social isolation. Turns out that social media isn't so social. And in a world we live in, we still need each other. Even businesses. It's interesting. Businesses went this way where they would go, man, we're going to do virtual. We're going to do the virtual meeting so we can save on travel. And all of a sudden, these companies are now switching back around because they realize that they need to have people in the room, that face-to-face contact. In fact, Google said this. They said, how many people can work remote? They asked one of their vice presidents, and Google said, as few as possible. We want them in the room together. There's something that happens when there's face-to-face. There's something that happens when we're sitting together with each other. In fact, IBM is a corporate giant, and they went to this thing where they literally let people work from home, and just this year, they called all of their employees back to work in the office to say, listen, we need you here. And there's people in our church that were affected by that, who they work for IBM, and IBM said, we need it face-to-face. Companies like Facebook and Pixar and Google, they realized how important it is. So if they realize it, we as a church, we got to realize how important it is, face-to-face community, to build it into our time. People need face-to-face relationship. People need to exchange and have relationships where we're together and we're working things out. Face-to-face relationships take time, though. You have to put it in your schedule. You have to say, man, I'm going to build relationships with other people. The best way to do it is in small groups. Go out. Do not pass by today without getting signed up into a small group. That's where you're going to get connected. It's much easier to send out, being on social media, it's much easier to send out a tweet instead of dealing with conflict. But I can tell you this, 40 words will hurt you a lot more than if you could sit down face-to-face with somebody and say, let's work this out. Because face-to-face is so important. Amen? If we don't take time to build relationships and find a place to belong, we won't ever fulfill our great need for relationships and community in our lives. It takes us stepping out. It takes us saying, man, it's going to be a priority in my life. Building community is not always easy. It can be messy. It can be challenging. It can be draining. But at the end of the day, it's so rewarding and fulfilling to have deep connections in community where we love each other and we have a deep connection. We can't exchange social media for face-to-face relationships. If you are lonely and you feel isolated, I'm here to tell you today, you belong. There's a place right here. From the beginning, God wired us. We have this great need for community. In fact, there's two things that every one of us needs, to be known and needed. We need to be known and we need to be needed. We need to be known and we need to be needed. Say it again. That's all of us. We all have that need. Look at Genesis 2:18 said, then the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now it's talking about man, but it's also talking about how we live our lives. It's not good to be alone. In fact, when we're in community and we find a place to belong, we can experience God in high def and an even greater way in our lives that we experience God on our own. Christians who isolate are in big trouble. Christians that stay isolated are in big trouble. It reminds me, and I've talked to you about this before, but on the Discovery Channel, we watch that all the time. I love that, to watch that with Paula. But you see, like with the lions, I mean, they're out running, and they can take down an elephant if the elephant gets away from the tribe. I'm not calling anybody an elephant, all right? But also, like the bison, you watch that, and wolves can take down a big bison. And the reality of it is it's the same for you and I. If we get away from the family, the enemy can take us down. The enemy can take you down. And he tries to isolate you. He tries to get you separated. And the reality of it is we need each other. To make it through this life, we need each other. If you want to experience all that God has for you, be in community. Work to build relationships. You belong here if you want to experience God. Hebrews 10:24 through 25 really gives us a good picture of the body of Christ. It says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Living in relationship can be difficult sometimes, but the enemy loves to keep us away from relationships. He fights community. He fights us building relationships. We have to be very intentional in our own lives when it comes to being a part of community and building relationships and as a church. Building strong community is one of the most important things that we can do here. It's one of the most important missions of the church. It's to be a family, to be a community where people are loved and we wrap our arms around people when they walk into this place. So today, I want to share with you three keys to building community in our church that I find from Hebrews. Three keys, and then we'll be done. Key number one is this: help people belong. Help people belong. This is not a club where it's exclusive. Anyone should be able to walk in our doors and feel like we love them. Help them to belong. Let us think of ways, Hebrews 10:24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to the acts of love and good works. One of the main purposes of the church is discipleship. For us to accomplish the Great Commission, we need to be discipling people. Discipleship is helping people become more and more like Jesus, and it only happens in community. It only happens when we come together and we wrap our arms around each other and say, I'm going to walk beside you. Listen to me, everyone, say it with me. Everyone, say it again. Everyone, say it one more time. Everyone in this room has a responsibility when it comes to building strong community and relationships in our church. It's not just your pastors. It's not just the leaders. Everyone in this room, if you are already here and you're a part of the community where you have relationships built and you're connected, it shouldn't stop there for you. Once you have relationships, then you take your eyes out and you say, okay, how can I help other people get connected? How can I find a place for other people? Listen, we never stop. This isn't a click where we say no one else, it's us four and no more. It is God help us. That's our mission, to find a place for everyone that walks in our doors. Do you know something? I want you to think about it in these kind of terms. Every person that walks through our doors was God sent. God ordained. God sent every person that walks through our doors. And I believe that there'll be a day where God says, what did you do with those people? Did you wrap your arms of love around them? No matter what they look like, didn't matter if they had 25 tattoos and 10 earrings, did you love them? And I think we do love them. And I think we do a good job, and we can continue where we can say, God, how can I wrap my arms around people as they're walking in? So how does this look practically? If you're here and you're connected and you walk into this sanctuary, I am now recruiting. Actually, I am I'm drafting. You are now drafted, every single one, because you said everyone. So now you are now drafted to be a greeter. If you see somebody you don't know, go meet them. Go ask them out to lunch afterwards. They could pay. No, I'm just kidding. You pay. Be generous. You're a greeter. You're part of the team to help people feel welcome here. Help people belong. You might say, Pastor, I've only been here 4 weeks. Good. You are now on our team. Thank you for being here. Help them to feel like, man, I've only been here 4 weeks, but man, I want to help you belong to this church. We're going to figure out how to do it together. Right? Help them. Help them belong. Love on them. Find a way. Don't sit there and go, well, that's somebody else's job. I'm just not that friendly. Neither am I. I sat on an airplane and talked to a guy for 3 hours. I was so tired by the time it was done. I'm like, oh, I need a Starbucks, and it's 1 a.m. Why? Because we're looking for ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And I can tell you, if somebody wraps their arm around you and says, you belong here, this is your place, thanks for being here, what does it do? It motivates you. Motivates you to know, man, I want to come back. I'm loved here. I'm cared for here. Don't stop. Be on the lookout for people who need to get connected. And do not walk up to somebody and go, are you new? Because you'll get an answer like this. No, I've been here a year. And you go, oh. So here's what we say. Man, how long have you been attending? How long have you been a part of our church? And then don't answer them back, well, I've been here 30 years. I'm glad you have been, but we don't want to make it look like it's so hard to get involved here. We're so glad you're here. We want to make it well. We want you to know you're loved. To build a community, we have to truly love people. Love people. True community happens when we love people in spite of who they are. When we love them because God first loved us. We focus on getting them involved in community and deeply grounding them here because we know the danger that there is in being isolated. We should not let anyone be isolated. In fact, if you know somebody that hasn't been here for 4 weeks, pick up the phone and say, where have you been? Let me say that again, because we all should be shouting. Some people go, well, it's the pastor's job to find out where they've been. How do I know? I can barely keep myself straight. I mean, I'll try, but you know them better than I do. So call them and say, where have you been? I don't want you to be isolated. I want to bring you back into the family. If they have an issue, talk them through it. Love them. Each one of us have a responsibility to build community in our church. Especially for the people you don't necessarily like. See, it's easy to build community for people you like, but people that drive you nuts, it's harder to build community. And I'm not talking, I did not say build friendships, because I think friendships happen, but I'm talking about build community. So if you have somebody in the church that drives you crazy, which we're all people, we all have our likes, start praying for them. Because I guarantee you, you can't like a person and you can't be mad at a person if you're praying for them. Pray for them. Pray, say, man, they're part of our community. We're going to find a way. If you don't feel connected today and you don't feel part of the community, now's a good time to step out and find out what you need to do to get to be part of the community. You might go, well, Pastor, I just don't feel connected. And my question back to you is, what have you done to get connected? Ooh, quiet. What have you done to get connected? You might go, I just can't find a group to get. Then start a group. Pastor Jason, Pastor Sarah, we have lots of opportunities to start a group, don't we? Start a group. Find a place to belong. You might go, man, I just don't feel connected to anybody. Then you start a group and you fill your group up with people, amen? And say, I'm going to get all the people that don't feel connected and we're going to connect. We're going to connect to the body. I also want to encourage you, put a tent on everybody's head. Look at everyone with potential. Everyone has potential. No matter if it's untapped, you might go, man, they're a diamond in the rough. Well, we're going to help them. All right, key number two, show up. Key number two, show up. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Do not miss being here. And I know we've got vacation. I know all of that stuff. I know the lake calls us. I know all of this stuff that comes up. But I've heard people before say, well, I just don't feel connected. And I go, well, where have you been over the last 6 weeks? I mean, you can't get connected if you're not here. You got to show up. Oh, it got really quiet. I love you so much. But it's so true. Like, you can't get connected if you're not here. It doesn't happen. So show up. Be a part of the community. Be a person that shows up. It's amazing to me how fast you can get out of the habit of something. It's easy to get out of the habit of getting yourself up on Sunday morning. I found the times I don't want to be here are the times I probably need to be here the most. That time I want to sleep in, or I want to head out to Elephant Rock Park or whatever it's called. You know, those are the times when I need to be here because I need to hear what God's doing. The enemy fights us. He tries to get us isolated. And I want to tell you, for 90% of the Christian battle is just showing up. That's 90% of our battle. Just show up. Don't get too busy to be in God's house. If you're too busy for God, you're way too busy. Adjust your calendar. Look at it and go, okay, please, this is what I'm asking you. Make Sunday morning a priority. Be here. Make it a priority. Because, man, I guarantee you, your life, in fact, I will tell you, if you'll give us a year and really plug in, get a part of Growth Track, get to be a part of a small group, say, man, I'm going to be here. I'm plugged in. I'm only taking 2 Sundays off, just like my job vacation. I have 2 or 3 Sundays off. I guarantee you it'll change your life. Because you know what the Bible says? The time you spend in God's house, you'll be blessed for it. There's not a moment that God doesn't turn around and go, man, I'm going to bless you with it. Building relationships and community is not about giving. It's not about taking, but it's about giving. So we look at that and we say, well, what can I give? Because, and here's my point. You might go, well, people don't really need, you know, people don't need me around there. Yes, they do. They need you. They need what you've learned. They need your wisdom. We need each other to grow and to learn and to build up community. When we walk together, it's so much stronger than when we walk apart. Your body needs you. Don't ever get into the trap of thinking, well, I can just do church alone. I'll just stay home and stream it, okay? Don't do that because you miss out on community. It goes back to that social media idea. You can hear all the great messages in the world, but you miss out on us. You miss out on friendship. You miss out on community. And I'm not saying, you know, on vacation, hopefully we're going to get streaming up so you can watch it wherever you're at. But I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to start watching church at home. You miss out on community, and we miss out on you. There's a blessing when you're in God's house. Number three, and then I'll be done. Key number three, so we want to help people get involved. We want to show up, and then we want to get engaged. Key number three, getting engaged. Hebrews 10:25, but encourage one another. When you step onto this property, make it your goal to be the biggest encouragement to everyone you meet. I want to encourage everyone I meet today. I want to be an encourager. The world does not need any more negative news. We've got enough. We can encourage, smile, high five, love people. Don't just go to church, be the church. But you can't be the church unless you show up. Don't just come and go through the motions. In fact, will you please do me a favor? When you drive to church, get excited about being here. Pump up your worship music. Man, I get to go to the greatest place in the world. I get to worship God. You know, if it's Southern Gospel that does it for you, turn it up. Whatever it is, get excited. Do not walk in here with a down spirit. People need encouragement. Walk in here prepared and ready. Spend some time praying for the message. Spend some time praying for worship. Let's do this. Let's make it so that we don't take 4 songs to get engaged. Let's do it right when we walk in the door. Be on time. Be here. Be ready, because you never know who God is going to bring into this place. Be ready to make a kingdom difference in someone else's life. It'll change you. move to the front row instead of the back. This is the only place that I know. Church is the only place I know where people don't fight for the front row. They fight for the back row. And no negative if you're in the back row. I'm not saying anything, all right? But I guarantee you, if you had a choice to sit in the back row at a Cardinals game or on the home plate, where would you be? This is the home plate right here. I'm just saying, get off the back row. God will change your life. Man, I really stepped in it. You have to pay a premium to be in the back row, or in the front row. Like if you go down to the Fox, man, that's where the most, this is the place where you can do it for free. Be up here on the front row. I mean, come on. These seats, they're empty right now. Be on the front row. Get engaged with the community. Find out what your next step is. What is my next step? Today it might be joining a small group. Join or lead. Our small groups, you can do it right around the stuff you love. You, man, if you're an underwater basket weaver and you love that, you could take five other underwater basket weavers and you can make baskets together and then talk about Jesus. If you haven't done Growth Track, get plugged into Growth Track. Growth Track will help you find your purpose, my gifting, what I was created for. And then finding a place to serve, make a difference. Here's the truth. God did not create you just to sit on a pew, just to come in and take. God created you to serve and give. And that's why we don't have pews here. We have chairs. But the more we sit in our pew, the more pew we get into. That wasn't even in my notes. I'll let you let that just sit in your heart for a minute. Just trying to be a blessing. Now I'm going to move on. If you want to hear it again, you can turn it on the podcast tomorrow. It takes some work to get engaged. Listen, it takes some work to get engaged. You got to put yourself out there a little bit. But whatever the cost is, it's worth it. Be here on Sunday and Wednesdays. Get plugged in. We have to engage in love with love. Love is the first step to community, even loving the people around us. Without love, we won't have community. And I love, in conclusion, I love the last part of this, Hebrews 10:25, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. God is not coming for a weak church. God is not coming for a church that's disunified. God is not coming for a church that can't have friendship. God is coming for a strong, powerful, unified church. And today, we can be that. So can we bow our heads, bow our hearts? You belong here to experience God. God has something special for you. What's your next step? Do not just walk out of here today and not sign up for a small group. Let's have everybody sign up today to be a part of community. You might go, Pastor, I'm not sure where I belong. Guess what? We'll help you. That's what those tables are for out there. And I want you to know we love you so much. Today, across this place, if you're lonely, if you're hurt, if you're lost, if you're broken, if you feel isolated, I'm telling you today, you've come to the right place. We're so glad you're here. We love you so very much. And today, I want to pray for you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus, I want to do that today. If there's anybody in this room, the Bible says all it takes is just to surrender. Just surrender our life. Say, God, here's my life. I give it to you, Jesus. I hand it over to you. You may not even understand all that means. We'll help you through that. But it's just that moment of saying, Jesus, I surrender to you. If that's you, if you've never done that before, maybe you're away from God and you say, Pastor, today I need to start. That's my first step. Will you just slip up a hand right now? If that's you, just slip up a hand. Say, I need to give my life to Jesus. That's the first step to being in community. If there's anybody in this room, just slip up your hand right now.